Morning, everyone. We welcome you all here today. It's good having you here. Thank you visitors for joining us here as well. Trust that you your hearts will be encouraged. We are going to continue, by the grace of God, we're going to continue the theme that's been very well introduced this morning. With the songs that were chosen, thank you, George, for minding the spirit in that, and also with Brother Paul's class on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we gathered together, some of us gathered together here different evenings this week, it just became very apparent again that we need a fuller revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His majesty and of His glory. And so we are going to focus on the Lord Jesus for the next while here still. And, you know, as you go through the Gospels, there's many places where Jesus either spoke something or did something, and the response of the people was they were astonished, they marveled, they were amazed. You see that thread all through the Gospels. The amazement, the marvel, the astonishment as of people's hearts and minds as they beheld the Lord Jesus and what He said. Sometimes very perplexing things to them. But they were astonished because in one place it talks about because they didn't think that He was a learned man. They couldn't figure out how these things were coming out of His mouth. And it seems like today, so many times, we have lost the marvel. We have lost the astonishment of Jesus Christ. Today in the service, I believe the Lord Jesus has been held up, and I trust that till we're at the end today, we will be amazed at who He is and His call in our lives. Just join me in prayer here. Lord, I just ask You to bring a trembling this morning at Your word. Lord, may our hearts be humbled as we come in front of the Lord Jesus. May our hearts be astonished, Lord. I ask You, Lord, that we would be struck with awe today. There's so much we cannot comprehend. There's so many things we're learning in these days, Lord. And You continue to give us revelation, and I thank You for that, of just the power, the might, the greatness of the Lord Jesus, and of the depth of His love, and also of His sacrifice. And Lord, as we look at some of these things today, Father, I ask You that You would just anoint the words that come out of my mouth. But Lord, as we also look at a lot of Scripture, Lord, we thank You today that the Word of God is anointed. The Word of God is with power. And Lord, as we reminded ourselves many times this week that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. Thank You, Lord. Impress that upon us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at different scriptures here today and then, Lord willing, finish up with a little time of worship. I want to take you to John chapter 17. We all know this is the prayer that Jesus prayed, and we're not going to go into the prayer very far, actually only into the first verse or two, but I want you to listen to these words. So we picture the Lord Jesus. He walked this earth for 33 years, and He came to this place of prayer. And this is what He said. Incredible words. He said, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Father, the hour is come. What was it about this hour? The hour is come. Why this hour? What was behind this hour? You know, when you, different of you have had the opportunity to prepare for a wedding, daughter's wedding, a son's wedding, and you know a lot of preparation goes into that, maybe several months of preparation, a half a year of preparation. But here was an hour. Jesus said the hour has come. What for preparation went into this hour? And as we're going to see here very briefly, I cannot get into near all of it, but I want to skim across the top here a little bit about the preparation of this hour. You see, nearly 4,000 years went into preparation for this hour. I take you to Genesis chapter 3. Already near the beginning of the Bible, we see something about this hour. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and knowing evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And so here we have the rebellion. Rebellion entering the world. The agreement with rebellion, to rebel against what God had said. And immediately there was separation in the relationship between God and creation and the man and the woman. There was separation. They went and they hid themselves. The Lord God said, God said to the serpent. So God came and talked, and I'm breaking in here in a couple different verses. We don't have time to read it all. God spoke to the man first. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Messiah would be born of a woman. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. God said many years later to Abraham, and we'll just skim through the Old Testament here a little bit. The Lord said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Pointing forward to this hour. Pointing forward. Jacob's blessing and prophecy over his son Judah. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter or the kingship, the royalty shall never depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. This is Jacob prophesying over his son, until Shiloh comes, until the Messiah comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Pointing forward to this hour. Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. I take you on to the book of Daniel. Daniel was there before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream of the great image made of different materials. And Daniel was here, in Daniel chapter 2, I believe it is, he was here explaining to Nebuchadnezzar about the dream, about this image. And I break into the middle of it here as he's going down through the different parts of the image. This is Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Nebuchadnezzar, whether he knew it or not, or understood it or not, was getting a glimpse of this hour. Many, many years later. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. The rod of his oppressor is in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. And Brother Paul brought that up in Luke this morning in the class. Jesus read out of Isaiah 61 there in the synagogue, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So many prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have all the events, so many events through the Old Testament, all pointing forward to this hour, this time. You have Noah building the ark for the salvation of his house. You have the families, the Israelite families there in Egypt, killing the lamb that first Passover night, and putting the blood on the doorposts of their house so that the death angel would pass over. And in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And so the Passover, year after year, pointed forward to this hour that Jesus said has now come. You see the picture of Isaac laying up there on the altar on Mount Moriah, the ram caught in the bushes, pointing forward the promised son. The rock in the wilderness where water flowed out for a nation of thirsty, grumpy people. Even that, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, that water was a type of spiritual water, and that rock is Christ. The manna that came to that hungry nation out in the wilderness. Jesus says this in John 6. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." You remember the story of how Israel sinned and God released poisonous snakes to come and bite them, and they began to die. And Moses was instructed to make a serpent out of bronze and lift it up on a pole. And all the people needed to do was look. Was just look, and they were healed. John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so these stories point us forward. Point forward. Even Jonah's experience running away from God and being in the whale's belly for 3 days, even that pointed forward to Christ. The scribes and Pharisees had come to Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 and said, "Teacher, we'd like to see some signs. We want you to do a sign for us." Jesus answered and said, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after signs. No sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And so the stories and events pointed forward to this hour. And then we could look at all the practices through the Old Testament that pointed forward. The giving of the law. The law pointed forward. It was the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. You have all the sacrifices and the feasts, the sacrifices for sin and all the different feasts, all pointing forward to this hour. To this hour. Circumcision of the flesh pointed forward to what the Messiah was one day going to administer to the hearts of men and women. The Red Sea crossing talks about in the New Testament it talks about being buried with Christ in baptism. The Sabbath day, the day of rest that God instituted, pointed forward to the perfect rest, Christ. When we can rest from our own labors, even as Christ did from, as God did from his. And then, as was mentioned earlier this morning already, John the Baptist was being sent to prepare the way. You see, God was orchestrating an incredible masterpiece coming to this hour. This hour. John preached repentance. He said the mountains are going to be brought low. The valleys shall be filled in. The crooked paths shall be straightened out. The bumpy, stony roads shall be smoothed out. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And then that night that Jesus was born, the angels brightened up the night sky. And they gave the message, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace has come. Good tidings has come to men." Simeon in the temple blessed God as he held the baby Jesus. He said, "Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Almost 4,000 years in preparation. "Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I've seen him with my own eye. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, the whole story, brothers and sisters, revolves around this hour. What do you think Jesus saw as he looked into this hour in front of him? What is it that he saw? Did he see the pain? I believe he did. He saw the pain. He saw the suffering. He saw the separation. You see, the Lord Jesus took our sins upon himself. And sin always separates. He saw the separation. He saw the war in the heavenlies. I believe that all of heaven was focused on this hour. As Jesus knelt there in agony in the garden, his flesh response was, Lord, if it be your will, Father, if it be your will, just let this cup pass from me. I just would want to walk around this hour. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I believe, as I look and think about this, just to the incredible picture, I believe that all heaven was standing at attention. Possibly even the saints that had gone before, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the saints, maybe they were also watching. You see, they had been part of the preparation. It says that while Jesus was there in agony, an angel was dispatched from heaven to minister to him. Heaven was standing at attention. This hour, the hour when death would be swallowed up in victory, the hour where he took our sin and our shame upon his shoulders. It was the hour that the veil in the temple was torn. The way was opened up into the most holy place. What an hour. And we could preach a whole message and just what all happened during that hour. But all the preparation of the ages came together in that hour. And then as Jesus hung there upon the cross, he made this statement. He proclaimed this truth. It is finished. The plan was completed. No more lambs need be sacrificed. The royal blood that was shed was the last blood needed. It was the last Passover. It was the last sin offering. You see, the law stopped at the cross. It could go no farther. It didn't need to go any farther. It was fulfilled. The law was fulfilled. The rock unleashed the living water. The bread of life was now available to all men. Those dying in sin only needed to look in faith upon the Lamb upon the cross. The Son of God was the Sabbath rest that men were so longing for. He became the robe of righteousness to replace men's rags of self-righteousness. He saves sinners. He heals the sick. The Lord Jesus, he is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway to peace. He is the highway of holiness. He is the gateway of glory. Oh, his power is without limit. His grace is all sufficient. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. And brothers and sisters, his word today is enough. Or is it? Is he all this to you? Is he all of this to me? Have you met this man, Christ Jesus? Have you truly met him? Has his finished work been applied to your life. Back when I was 14 years old, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of my testimony in front of the church, I used this verse. I inserted this verse, John 1, verse 12, was my testimony verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Power to be a son of Almighty God. It's been quite a journey since I was 14. It didn't always feel like power to me. It says to those who receive him, to those who receive his death, to those who receive his resurrection, to those who receive his forgiveness, to those who receive his love, to those who receive his righteousness, to those who receive his promise, to those who receive his commandments, to those who receive his lordship, his call, his invitation to sit at his feet. I got stuck somewhere in that list many times over the years. Maybe it was not wanting to die, receive his death. Maybe it was not really comprehending his forgiveness. Maybe it wasn't receiving his love or his righteousness. Maybe I wasn't willing to surrender to his commandments, his lordship, him being on the throne of my heart. But many times over the years, I got stuck somewhere on that list of receiving him. Because the promise is this, brothers and sisters, those who received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. That's an incredible power. During this time of fasting, I was really praying that God would just release the waters of healing into the places in our congregation where there's healing needed, where there's restoration needed, where there's salvation needed. And I was excited about praying about God opening my eyes in areas where I'm blind, God opening your eyes in areas where you are blind. Friday evening, the Spirit took me to this verse in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6, and this is what it says: Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And my prayer began to shift just a little bit to more of, Lord, would you stir up a hunger and a thirst in our hearts? Because only then will we be filled. Brothers and sisters, only then will we be filled. And then Brother Dwight last night just broadened that a little bit in a statement that he made, and it stuck with me. Talked about hunger and thirst will come as we get a deeper revelation of who Jesus really, really is. We have a small view of Jesus Christ. Where there is no hunger, there is possibly no life. Or if there is a little life, it's a life overcome with sickness and idols. Where there is no hunger, there's possibly no life. Jesus said there in John 17, he said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the Father, that they might know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And he said in other places in the Gospels, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength. My question to us here today is, how can you love someone that you don't know? And how can you know someone that you don't spend much time with? The equation is very simple this morning. Spending time to get to know the Father. Jesus said that that is eternal life right there. Knowing the Father and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. How can you love someone you do not know? And so, this morning as we consider these things, and I consider them with you, I actually, these days of fasting, I felt like have been mostly for me. Just a deeper revelation of the beauty of the Father, the beauty of the Savior. And you know, folks, the war is very real. And sometimes we wonder if it's really worth it. Does that ever go through your mind? We fight discouragement. We fight spiritual laziness, bondages, addictions, our flesh. We fight through fear. We fight through anxiety. We rush around trying to meet people's expectations. We fear that we're not meeting God's expectations. We fight through doubts. We stumble on in pain trying to pull our broken hearts together. We find ourselves in those places. I cannot improve upon these words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In Matthew 6, he says, ask. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God will complete what he has started. But he is under no obligation to complete that which he has not begun. God will complete what he has started, but he is under no obligation to complete that which he has not begun. We try to accomplish so much in our own strength, and it gets so frustrating. So frustrating. Because God's not in it. That's why. Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away. I will be found of you, and I will turn away your captivity. The promises are very simple. are very straightforward. I think I'm going to read 1 John 5 yet here in closing, and then we're just going to come before the Lord and some worship here. Just listen to these words. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. They're not heavy. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, this is he who came by blood and water, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This is the tree of life, by the way. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then John finishes it up with this statement: little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I encourage us today. Do you want to live in the fullness of the Spirit? Do you want freedom to ring out of your life? Do you want freedom to ring in your household? Do you want freedom to ring in this house right here? It takes all of your heart. Every piece of it. Every room. Every dream. Every love. Absolutely everything. Every last idol, brothers and sisters, will need to be disposed of. Every last one. Jesus Christ is absolutely everything. He is all you need today. He is all I need. Wherever you find yourself, Jesus Christ is the answer. I proclaim that today on the authority of the Word of God. I want to spend some time here in singing and worship to the Lord. We are going to, I think, use the screen for that. We have a few songs prepared. And maybe, Andrew, you want to come and help me move this podium? I want to invite, as we stand together here in a moment, I want to invite all the youth and all the teenagers, actually, 13 and up, just to fill up the front here and as we sing together. So youth can come on up, the youth and teenagers down at 13 years old and up. Be great. Let's just go over that way. That's good. Let's stand together, those that can, conveniently can. I understand if you have children and are not able to, but let's just pull in the front here. Just gather on in, pack it in, right in here in the middle. You can just fill it up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look, come on in this way. Make more room. Wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's sing it again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Let's sing together, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." I don't know what the cry of your heart is this morning, but if you need to do business with the Lord Jesus Christ, you just feel free to do that. Kneel where you're at or whatever you need to do, but He is calling today. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at Thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, Lord, dear God, Jesus Christ, humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in Thy merit, would I seek Thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by Thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Say, oh, do it, Lord. Meet with us here, Lord, in this place. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh, hallelujah. Lucas, if you can find the song, How Deep the Father's Love, and just put that up. Lord Jesus, we ask you today to meet us, Lord. We come just as we are. Lord, with our needs, with our brokenness, with our pain, with our discouragements, with our doubts, with our fears, with our anxieties, Lord, we bring it all. We bring it all to you by faith. Amen. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make. Hallelujah. Treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wit. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it out. And I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this his wounds have paid my ransom. Hallelujah. He has paid it all. He has come to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, and I think we could all agree with Paul, Let's sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. For me it was God, and he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat, blood for mine. How marvelous. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, hallelujah, and my amen, hallelujah. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died. Lord, how marvelous, hallelujah, shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with a ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing his love for me. How marvelous, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. If you're inspired by this truth, if all of the Savior is welling up in your heart, just call out in thanksgiving to the Lord. Lift up your voice in thanksgiving to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for his great salvation, his full salvation. Hallelujah. Just praise his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for such a great salvation. Thank you for saving us from our sins, O Lord. Thank you for the joy of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Call out these names after me. Lord Jesus, you are the perfect Lamb. Lord Jesus, you are the perfect. Shout it out. You are our Savior.
You are our
Redeemer.
Our Redeemer.
The Anointed One.
The
Messiah. The Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
You are the way,
the
truth,
and the life.
You are the bread of life.
You are the rock.
You are the chief cornerstone.
You are the living water.
You are the light of the world.
You are
Christ the Lord. the Son of God, the Son of Man, Emmanuel, the author of salvation, the line of Judah. You are Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Put up the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." I don't know where you're at this morning, what's going through your heart. It takes all of our hearts, every piece, every room, every love, everything. Are we at a place this morning to sing this from our hearts? If you're not, please don't sing it. But think about the words and consider. I understand sometimes we have to sort through some things. And I don't want us just to make a flippant proclamation. If you need time before you can sing this song, that's okay. But seek the Lord Jesus with all your heart. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Before we sing this last verse, I just want to say this. In this thing of surrender, people ask the question, how do I know if I surrendered everything? And I'm sure there'll be many things to explain about that. But I just wanted to share with you all, are you surrendered to what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is showing you today? Surrender is a continued journey. We go deeper and deeper with the Father. But is there anything that you're holding back on today? Is there a room that you're still holding the key to the door? That's the question. He may show you, you may be very surrendered today. He might show you something else to surrender tomorrow. Are you willing to do that? All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me. me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen. Lord, we just ask you to continue to work deeply in our hearts in these days, Father. I pray, Lord, that whatever's in darkness would come to the light in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for your love to us. And I pray a blessing over every person here. I pray a blessing over every believer here. And those who are considering the cost, I pray your life upon them, that your Spirit would draw them, Lord. Father, we thank you that it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, you may be to go back and sit down. Everyone may be seated. I'll turn it over to Brother Aaron.
O thou art my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Amen. Just want to open it up here for a few minutes. Maybe someone has a word of testimony you'd like to share with the congregation, maybe a confession. Just take this time to mind the Spirit of the Lord what God is speaking. Okay, there's a hand up front here, Brother Lester. Anyone else, raise your hand. Ushers will get a microphone to you.
I'm just amazed at how God orchestrated this service. And just thinking of the miracle that God did. And something that really jumped out at me today was the evil and adulterous generation looks for a sign. And there's no sign going to be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Are we looking for signs today? The sign has already happened. We don't need to look for more signs, but walk in the light. That's my encouragement to all of us.
Thank you, brother.
I found this time of fasting just really bringing me to a place of weakness and brokenness. I saw areas of sin in my life, and I just areas of that I had been controlling my life, and insecurities, pride, and I came to the place where I had no place to go but Jesus and invite him into those places. It's nothing that I can't do anything about it except look into Jesus. And I'm just thankful for what he's shown me. And if those areas in my life have affected anyone here, I ask for your forgiveness. And I just want to humble myself and continue to humble myself before the Lord and walk in repentance as he shows me, and trust in Jesus. He is my answer.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Karen. God gives grace to the humble. Amen. Lord bless you. Someone else have a microphone in the back?
Yeah, I just thought about the verses in Isaiah when it talking about trying to do things in our own strength. You know, sometimes when we go through trials and dark times, we have that temptation to try to get through it ourselves. And in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, it says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" Then the answer is, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." And the next verse speaks about those who try to kindle their own fires and what happens then. It says, "Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." You know, if we endeavor to kindle our own fires and do things in our own strength, you know, God's word to us is that we'll lie down in sorrow. But the previous verse says, to trust in the name of the Lord and stay our heart upon our God when we go through dark times in our lives.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Over here.
Yeah, I just want to take the time here and thank you for the message, Tim. And I just want to be honest and confess where I am with the Lord. I feel like the message really showed me things that I've been dealing with for a very, very long time. I know when I came to the Lord, I came in a right way. I came because I believe, because I love him, and because he died for me, and I believe all that. But I see in my life where I have never received his love. I feel like I'm always pouring my love out to him, praising him, worshiping him, but for some reason I have never allowed him to truly love me. And I don't know, maybe it's because I just feel like I'm not worthy or I'm unlovable. I don't know. But all the battles that Tim mentioned up there is all battles that I deal with. And I know I do it on my own strength, and I'm not turning to God. And I think it's because I'm feeling, I don't know, if it's rejection that I'm feeling, that I can't come to him the way that I should. But I know I love him. I just feel like maybe he doesn't love me. I don't know. I'm just being honest. I feel unlovable sometimes. And like Karen said, I am sorry for anything that I've done to my family. The thing with Courtney has brought a lot of hurt to me, because I question sometimes things that happened there, and maybe things in her childhood. Not that it was anything so terrible, but I just question things. So I just ask for your prayer that God would open my heart fully to him and let me to receive his love of me, or for me, and just to be open and honest about things in my life.
Thank you for sharing. A good and an honest heart is all that God requires. In the verses I read a moment ago, "Lord, thou art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." God bless you, sister. How sweet and how good it is to be together in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.